I'm sure last week maybe it's still burning in your mind. You know, do you remember what we spoke on? We spoke on Christ in the house, Christ in the heart, Christ in our gathering in the gospel hall, and how that he should be foremost, and the things that we thought about the Lord Jesus and the preciousness of him. This morning I've had a couple of thoughts, you know, and sometimes when people or person asks you to say a few words, you sort of think to yourself, at that particular time, maybe a week ago, I didn't know what I would speak on, you know, and I had few thoughts, but those were my thoughts. But sometimes then when you gather together, you know, like we did this morning, those thoughts then that I had really are unimportant to the thoughts that I have right now. The thoughts that I have right now is one single thought, and that's the thought of love. And I want to try, as I have been just sitting for a few minutes, considering the thoughts of love, considering the love that the Father had for the Son, and considering the love that we have for the Son, and considering then the love that we should have for each other. I want to try and read a few verses of Scripture, and I want to try and maybe develop some of those thoughts just a little bit further from Scripture. Again, we're working from the pillar of truth. This is the pillar of truth. Everything that we need to know about our lives is written in here. It's just getting the knowledge and the time to read and define what God would have us do and how God would have us live. Sometimes we need help with that. When we're just born, we need milk. When we're just saved, we need to be taught in Scripture. So as we get a grasp from people who have been fed milk and grew up and are strong and are eating food every day, we then need to grow up and be strong in Scripture and be able to define what our diet should be for to get us through a day, our scriptural diet to get us through the day. Some of those things, I don't know how they're going to turn out. But anyhow, let's sing a hymn then. Let's have a prayer with the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask the Lord for help. We know that he's in our presence. We know that he gathers with us. We know that he sets up a stairway, a ladder to heaven, where the angels ascend and descend, telling him what's happening on earth. So we're not here on our own. We're not left to our own devices, because he's here to assist, to encourage. Those who are saved are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We have a part, a kernel, a life inside us that will never die. We'll not always live in this body, but God will prepare a new body for that kernel of life to live in with him. Now we're going to have a hymn, and the hymn is, I think it's 115. 115, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me how angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. 115, just remaining seated, 115.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his word. Sweetest that ever was heard.
God and Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence and have been in thy presence, Lord, for most of our, all of our time, Lord, as we have gathered together. We give thee thanks, Lord, for thy presence with us. We give thee, Lord, ask thee, Lord, for help as we would gather aside now, Lord, in the preaching of the gospel, the ministering of the word which is yet to follow. Lord, we look to thee for help and strength, for guidance, and Lord, for clarity, that here as we gather aside, Lord, there might be souls challenged, not for the glorification of man, but for the glorification of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we ask, Lord, as we gather aside, for thy blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen. My thoughts is just to read a little bit of scripture, and I was going to read a little bit of scripture in John 3. And John 3 and 35, and you can look it up or you cannot, whatever you prefer. If you have a Bible, that's good. And it says in John 3 and 35, it says, the Father loves the Son. It says the Father, that's the Lord God of heaven, loves the Son and hath given all things into his hands. That is the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, all things into his hand. Also says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son, it says that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those are strong words. Those are strong words from Scripture. And God has written them on Scripture. Another verse in John 3 and John 3 and 16, it says, for God so loved the world. That means that God loves you. God didn't love the soil and the trees as, well, maybe he loved them, but he didn't love them as much as he loved us. The greatest joy that God had was creating man. That was God's greatest joy. was creating. He created us, he loved us, and he lost us. And he had to find a way to buy us back. That's the basicness of the scriptures. And God loved the Son. It tells us the Father loved the Son. He loved the Son immensely, but he also loved us. Two loves the Father had. He had a love for the Son, and he had a love for us. And he loved us. You see, it would have been easy for the Father to love the Son, for the Son had no sin. The Son was spotless. The Son was perfect. The Son was holy. His Son, God's Son, a perfect Son. But we weren't. We weren't holy. We were sinners. We sinned. We sinned. We sin all the time. We sin. So God wanted a way of pardoning our sin. I'm going to read another little bit of scripture. And this little bit of scripture that I'm going to read to you gives you an indication. It gives you an indication of how the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, as he walked through earth and he met sinners. And this little piece I'm going to read, it's in Matthew and it's in chapter 8. And it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. A picture of God's love sending his Son through a unique way, virgin birth, a unique way he came. God promised that to us. He promised that in the very same scripture we looked at last week, the very same chapter of Genesis 3, he said that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. So a woman delivered a baby that God says, that's my baby, I'm going to use him to bruise Satan's head. God is still bruising Satan's head with the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman was the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent him. God promised him. Look, you have no prophets. You have no angels there. Just God, man, and sin in the one garden together. And I told you, 21, Genesis 3, God skinned the animal and clothed man to cover his sin. And the blood was shed by the skinning of the animal. Doesn't tell you what kind of an animal, but skin has to come from an animal. Blood must be shed. Sin was there. God was there. Blood was shed there. But just before that, God had found out there was sin there. That's verse 15 in Genesis. And he says that I'm going to bruise the serpent's head. I'm going to bruise Satan's head by the seed of the woman. The woman who failed. The woman then who told the man to fail. Right? We'll have it all there. Then God comes in. So here's what we have here. We have God's Son now. God says, I love the Son. I've given all power into his hands. Everything. Here he is here. And he has just came down off the mountainside. Often the mountainside was his place all night long. Cold. Wet. Dewy. And he's just come down. And he finds a great multitude right away have encroached on him, around him. They've come around him. But here's one man. Why should one man stand out from all the rest? Because this man came and worshipped him. You see, all the sinners behind him were a load of sinners. But this one man, what did he do? He pushed forward. He pushed forward, and other scripture tells us that he kneeled down. And he asked him. See, leprosy speaks of sin. Leprosy. They say parts fell off. Your ears, your fingers, your nose. All the little parts fell before it eventually killed you. Took your life. Right? So here's this man, and probably parts are missing off him. Why? Because his sin had become visible to the world. The parts were falling off him. People were scared. They used to ring bells and shout, unclean, unclean, as they moved through the villages of that particular time, at that particular age, unclean, unclean. And everybody fled away from them. They were sinners. Nobody wanted to know them. They fled away from them. Here's this man, and he comes down, and he comes out and he comes to the Lord Jesus. He acknowledges him who he is. He acknowledges him. He acknowledges him. He says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. He kneeled to him and he said unto him, if thou wilt. He could see the power that was in the Son of God. He could have went to a physician. You know, it's like the woman that pushed in through and she had a bleeding sore. And she says, if I could only but touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. The power that was in Christ on earth at that time, showing forth the power of God, showing forth the love of God, showing forth the kingdom of God, that God was a merciful God, slow to anger, waiting for sinners to turn away from their sin and to come find Jesus. This man came, he found Jesus. What, did Jesus ignore him? Did he say, don't touch me. Go away, I don't want it. Did he do that? He didn't. What did he do? He says, be thou clean. And not only did he say that, he actually reached out and touched him. Thing that would never have been done. Never have been done. The power of God, the strength of God in Christ. And he touched him. He touched him. And touching him, he was healed. When we're born in sin. God says that. We're born in sin. There's a scripture coming to me from the Psalms. And in sin did my mother conceive me, right? But it wasn't that his mother and father weren't married. They were married, you know? But he was just born of the flesh. When you're born of the flesh, you're born in sin. You're born in sin. How do you get rid of the sin? Like the leper. You have to come to Jesus. There's no other way but to come to Jesus. Do you know? Yeah, you could join a church. And you could go and join this or that or the other thing. And you could say, well, I'm going to do so many praying and so much penance. I'm going to do this. It doesn't save you. What saves you is coming to Jesus with your sin, like the leper. And he kneeled down and he said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm full of leprosy. Can you help me? He says, yeah. He touched him. He healed him. He was clean. So when we come, we must acknowledge our sin before the Lord Jesus Christ, or our sin before God. We must ask for forgiveness. We must say to him, Lord, I need forgiveness. When we get to that point and we ask, then we can be free from our sin, just like the leper was free from his sin. It's not complicated. But sometimes, 35 years it took me to get saved, brought up in a gospel home. It's not complicated. In fact, it's so uncomplicated, you could miss it. It's so simple, you could miss it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to gather in a congregation or any place to get it. All you got to do is acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came into the world, that he suffered on the cross and shed his blood. God demanded blood for sin. Therefore, for you and me, blood must cover our sin. The only blood that we can get right now for our sins is the blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary. That's his precious blood. And we must acknowledge him as the Son of God. We must acknowledge God for the sacrifice that he made of his son at Calvary. One and only sacrifice. Never asked for another one, ever. At the beginning, God used lambs and sheep and bullocks. And when Solomon built a temple, they couldn't count the number of animals that they slaughtered to make that temple holy. The blood that was shed couldn't be counted. So many animals they killed. But God drew a line in the sand. God says, that's past. This is new. What's new? My son. One sacrifice for sins forever. God sat down. He was happy with what he had done. Christ was happy. Both seated. Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for his church. He's waiting for you and me. He's being patient. He's holding back the wrath of Satan on the earth, so as he can get you and me to be in heaven with him. He wants every seat full in heaven. He wants them all full. He wants them full, not only of you guys who are here and knows. He wants them full of your children. He wants them full of your grandchildren. He wants them full of your aunties and uncles. He wants you people with your families gathered around him at the throne of God. That's what he wants. That's why he's waiting. He's being patient. He's holding back. He's holding back. 10 feasts of Jehovah. 8 of them already passed. There's 2 left, right? The next feast to come is the Feast of Trumpets. That's when the church will be raptured and taken away. That's the end of the day of the church. The Old Testament people, you know, they thought they knew everything about Scripture. And some of the very knowledgeable people, they thought they knew everything about Scripture. You know what they didn't know? They didn't know that when God sent his Son to earth, there was a period going to be on earth called the church. The people of Israel had no idea of the church coming. They didn't know the church was coming. When Jesus came, they thought, Messiah, Savior, King, get us out of our burden. Get us away from the Romans. For the Romans were in power. The Romans were in their country. And they thought, send, Lord, send us a Savior. Here he came. What? On a donkey? He was on a donkey. You know, why did he come on? Why did he come to be born in a manger? Why not on a throne? Because God had a plan. And the plan was God had a church. And in that church, that's part of you and me. That's what God wants. God wants you in his kingdom in heaven. He bought you with the price of blood. He paid the price of blood for each and every one of us here. All that we have to do is accept it, acknowledge him and accept it. So you can understand why the main man at that time was a guy called Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the main man on the Jewish side of things to do with the religious order of the Israelite people. And it was him that said, crucify him. Don't want him because he's not a king. He can't get us clear of our burdens of the Romans. We don't want him. Crucify him, crucify him. And they shouted, away with him. And the Romans, they crucified him. They put him to death. That's a Roman death. Crucifixion was a Roman death. Stoning was a Jewish death. They crucified him. The religious order at that time didn't want him. They wanted a king. But God at that time wanted a church. And God fitted the church in there. And the church has been going now for approximately almost 2,000 years. Because you see, I'm counting. What am I counting? Did the church start from the crucifixion of Christ or the birth of Christ? See, so we're running on borrowed time for the next feast of Jehovah, which is the sound of the trumpet. The sound of the trumpet is the rapture of the church. That's you and me gone. If you've got a family, they're going to be left. God's only going to take those that are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He's going to rapture them. He's going to take them up. That's why when we're caught up, that's 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to be changed. We're going to be given a body, a new body, that will dwell, be able to dwell in the presence of God. That's the next feast. That's the next rapture of the church. Right? The next one after that is the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll leave that. Anyhow, here we have, and what do we have? The love of God for his Son. He gives all things into his hands, right? The love of the Son for us. What's that? He goes to the cross. He sheds his blood. Perfect sacrifice for sins. Perfect. He had no sin. God's sacrifice for sin. Sheds his blood. Blood had to be shed for sin. God says, I'll send the seed of the woman to bruise the serpent's head, to bruise Satan's head. So he did. It was the Son he sent, right? The Son shows out here on earth his power. He shows out in his power here is how he moved through earth and he was able to deal with sin. He put sin away. He put the leper away. He put the blind man away. Put the deaf man away. He put the woman with the bleeding sore. He fixed her up too. We were all taken care of by Christ. It showed out the power of God on earth. Then eventually at God's time, the Passover feast, Christ was sacrificed at the exact same time as the Passover feast. The blood of the lamb that was shed. Now the blood of Christ shed. One sacrifice for sins forever. Offered to not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile. That's you and me. doesn't matter where we were born. It doesn't matter the color of our skin or our nationality or how we speak. It doesn't matter. What God has done, he has covered the Jew and he has covered the Gentile. You're covered. You have the option of God's salvation. It's free. It's for the whosoever will. God says those that accept it, he says they shall never perish. They shall have eternal life. That's a great offer. You know, there's people today and they're squabbling and they're climbing for success and they're buying shares and they're going up and down and they're buying property and they're all trying to gather in, get, you know. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be productive on earth. I'm not saying that you should stop working. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's good to work. It's very good to work. It's good to keep your mind busy and it's good to do things in life and it's good to bring in a wage. It's good to keep your family and it's good to expand in certain ways, whatever way you want to do. But never let it get before this here. Never let it get before this. Put no other gods before this God because he's a jealous God. He's jealous of your soul. He's jealous of your spirit. He has made a home for you in heaven and he wants you to come to him. His cry is, come. Come unto me. If you're laboring at it, if you're thinking about it and you're laboring at it, he says, come unto me. If you're laboring at it, I'll give you rest. I'll take away the sins of the past. I'll cover them. They're buried in the blood of Christ. No more will he bring them up again. That's what it does. It covers sins of past, of the past, of the present, and of the future. Covers them all. Covers them all. It's a great story. It's God's story. It's not my story. You'll get different people and they'll interpret it differently and maybe a little bit different. But when you get down to the basics of the truth of the Word of God here, right here, it's the blood of Christ. It forgives all sin. How do I get it? Do I have to pay? No. Do I have to spend time in penance? No. Do I have to join a church? A creed or not? No. What do you have to do? In sincerity with your sins as a burden before God, you have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ like this leper did. And you have to bow the knee to him just to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Look at my sin. His sin was exposed. His sin was visible. Some of us that come, our sins are hidden. We put on a nice suit, a nice tie, and we look good. But it doesn't mean to say that we're not covered with sin. Sin could be everywhere in us. See, but we come to Jesus and we ask, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. You know, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. You don't have to move out of your seat to get it. You don't have to tell me. You know, you don't have to tell me. In fact, I hate that. You know, what's that? I hate to be in a position where somebody comes to me with such a burden. And I tell them about Christ. And you know, I'm there and I'm actually between the Holy Spirit and them. And I shouldn't say hate it, but I dislike it to be in that position. Lest I upset the Holy Spirit. Say something wrong. But anyhow, if you're in the position where the Holy Spirit's striving, now's the time to get saved. Now's the time to ask him in. You don't have to tell anybody your sins. You know your own sins. You know you were born with sin. You just got to ask him in. You just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? When I got saved, you know, I was about coming 35. And I had been brought up in the gospel. I knew everything that I'm teaching to you. I could have preached it to you then, and I wasn't saved. You know, mom and dad took me when my feet were short. Didn't even reach the floor. You know, and I listened. And as we got older, we got away from the things that they taught. They were both saved before they were married. They were both in fellowship before they had any family. They brought us up. They taught us the scripture. They took us to the gospel hall. But, you know, it took me almost 35 years to acknowledge and to get into a position where I was consider in my soul. I considered my soul and I knew all the truths, but I wasn't saved. I knew all what I should be, but I hadn't done it. I was at a funeral, you know, I told you that, my uncle's funeral, and he was dead there, you know. I was criticizing him. I was criticizing my uncle who was dead. We called him a Bible thumper. That's somebody that's always preaching, you know. When you go out in the farmers, we were there, he would always have a word or two from the Bible for you. You know, we called him Bible thumper. Here comes my uncle Walter, the Bible thumper, you know. That's okay. But when he was dead, I was there. I was at the funeral and I went in and he was lying there. And I told you that before. And he was dead. And I criticized him as a dead Christian. I says, there you are, you're dead. That means you're dead, you know. But I had learned scripture. I had learned scripture when I was at Sunday school. And it says, dead yet alive. How can a person be dead in the body yet alive? Well, that's possible. You can die in the body, but your soul and your spirit is alive with Christ if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, if you're saved, you go automatically to be with Christ. A holding place for the saints till you get your new body. That's where you go. See? And I says to myself, do you know what I said? I says, you know what? I'm missing something here. I'm missing something. I've been in Canada for 10 years. I've been in America. I have brought property in America, right? I was at home. I was doing good. Do you know what I mean? I was doing okay. But you know what? I said in my head, I'm missing something here. And that was okay. We buried my uncle, went to the funeral, we buried him. Came back again, changed my clothes in the house I was living in. I was building another house for myself, so I went back to that. That was about almost 5:05 in the evening time. And this, I couldn't get out of my head. I'm missing something. Dead, yet alive. Three words from Scripture. Three words, dead, yet alive. I was dead in my sins to God. As a living person, I was dead in my sins towards God. How could I rectify that? Well, I can only ask God to forgive me my sins. By asking God to give you your sins, God forgives sins. I remember, I says, God, and I didn't know how to approach God. I just said, God, if there's such a thing as being saved, would you save me? And if you do, this is a hard bit. And I ask him, I have to tell you, would you teach me to walk in your ways? That's the hard bit. You know, saved is a good, see walking in God's ways, you know? You see doing everything God asks us to do after salvation. You got the old flesh in there, it wants to go this way, you know, or this way. God wants us to go this way, you know, and we're struggling with that. We're struggling with that. So that's why keep reading the Word, keep listening to the Word, and get into the Word, and that then leads us into the way God wants us to live. God wants us to live for Him. I was going to go on to that. There was other scriptures I had there. I had other scriptures. I don't have time for them. I was going to go First Corinthians 13, the love. You know, love suffereth long and is kind. It's not love, it's not a self, it's not puffed up. That's the love that we should have for each other, for those who have got together and see Him. There shouldn't be a jealousy in our love. No jealousy. That's in 1 Corinthians 13. I was going to read that. I was going to read some of that. I haven't got time to read that. But you read it when you go home about the love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Love suffereth, change that word charity, to love suffereth long and is kind. It's generous. It's forgiven. All those things that are in love. I was going to read that. There was another bit. I don't have time to read in Ephesians 4. So we'll sing a hymn. And you know, if God's striving with you today, and God's striving with you, maybe God's striving with you right now. I don't know. But if God's striving with you now, and you acknowledge your sin before God and just simply say, Lord, save me. That's salvation. That's how simple it is. You see, and I had got to a point at my age, it was too complicated. I was too complicated. And the simplicity of me just turning to God and saying, Lord, if there's such a thing as salvation, save me. I knew I was saved. Once I muttered them words, I could feel the burden because I was 35 years old. I was carrying a big burden of sin. People say you don't feel any change when you get saved. Not if you're 6 years old. You're not carrying a burden of sin. You see, but I was 35. I knew what sin was. I was carrying a burden of sin. I never realized when you ask God to come in, the relief in your very being of Christ coming in to lift off that burden of sin, to know that you were not going to be condemned for the sin of the flesh of the past, to know that you were going to have peace with God, to know that you were going to have a home in heaven, to know through that once and forever salvation that you were going to have peace, a home in heaven, and life that is totally everlasting. That's what God promises in his word. That's why we teach, that's why we preach it, because we think that other people should have it too. And that's what God's offering you here this morning. God's offering you that salvation. God wants you to take it. That's why God's holding back the wrath that's to come on the earth, so as he can get you into heaven. I'll often working with the people at home, you know, and I'll talk as when we're on the building site or on the farm and whatever we're doing, I'll talk to them and I'll turn to them and say, "Hey, I'm keeping a seat beside you, me in heaven for you. Are you coming?" See? You coming? Yeah. "No, don't keep a seat beside me. Keep two in front of you." "Oh, right." So, you know what I mean? That's my brother, not saved yet. That's what he says to me. You see? Challenged twice with the Holy Spirit, turned it away. Challenged twice. That's bad. I still pray for him. I still pray on. I hope God gives him salvation, offer of it a third time that he may accept. That's what I pray for. You can turn away God's salvation. You know, that salvation could be away for 20 years before you're challenged again. If he's challenging you now, you cherish it. If he's challenging you, you cherish it. And you don't let it slip. You keep on till you get it. How do you get it? Just as I told you. Acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and asking him in. Could we sing 1, 2, 2, and then we'll have a prayer, and that'll be our meaning. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruel tree that I a ransomed soul might be is more than tongue can tell. The love is more than tongue can tell. The love is more than tongue can tell. The love that Jesus had for me is more than tongue can tell.
The love that Jesus had
for me to suffer on that cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. The love that Jesus had for me, is more than tongue can tell. The many sorrows that he bore, and oh, the crown of thorns he wore, that I might live forevermore, is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. The love that Jesus had for me, than tongue can tell.
The peace
I have in him, my Lord, who pleads before the throne of God, the merits of his precious blood, is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. The love that Jesus has. God for me is more than tongue can tell. The joy that comes when he is near, the rest he gives so free and clear, the hope in him so bright and clear, is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. The love that Jesus had for me, is more than tongue can tell.
Father, for this time spent around thy word with thy people, we give thee thanks for thy goodness and thy mercy. We give thee thanks, Lord, for thy promise that where two or three are gathered together, Lord, you're in our midst. We give thee thanks, Lord, where thy seed is sown, that it will bring forth fruit. Lord, we leave it with thee. We pray for those that are here. We ask, Lord, for salvation, and we give thee thanks again for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.